it's roll of the dice. And there are doctors and scientists who spend their entire lives devoting themselves to finding vaccines for stuff. They found a vaccine for this. Appreciate the hell out of the fact that you are capable of just having a needle stuck in your arm and not getting a really, really terrible disease. How is this rocket science for you people? Like, I don't understand. This drives me nuts. There are so many things that there aren't cures for that people just have to sit there and deal with being inside their body. And then there's this thing that you can just have put in your arm to stop you from having to deal with something terrible. And there are people being like, nah, not for my kids. Like, is this a freaking joke? I don't understand. A guy figured out how to cure infections from mold from bread. Like, listen to him and everyone like him saying, hey, this is going to make your life and everyone around you's lives better. I can't believe that this is something that has to be explained to people, or even that there's a movement to try to tell people not to do it.
It is WMFO Medford. I'm about to make it worse, Shay.
I'm like gonna tear my microphone off of the case.
I'm about to make this worse because you know what they're doing? Now, I don't know how widespread this is. Somebody did it. Somebody did it because somebody wrote about it. This may just be an isolated incident, but somebody did it. At least and the way the story is written by a sensationalist news outlet, a British tabloid that shall remain nameless. All I need to say is British tabloid.
I know which one.
Okay. No, it's...
Hey, Derek. Hello?
No, it's not the one. It's not the one that you think of.
Oh, I really thought it was going to be Hello.
But one of the...
I love Hello, by the way.
One of the British tabloids...
It's hilarious.
In their coverage of this story, reported that parents were having measles parties to infect their children so that they wouldn't have to get the vaccine. Because nothing...
I'm going to scream.
Nothing.
I'm going to scream.
Nothing says good parenting like exposing your child to a potentially lethal illness.
Like, the measles are like... That's not like getting chicken pox. Like, the measles are they're a big freaking deal.
Yeah.
If you guys are wondering what my stuttering is, it's my brain exploding.
It's the 21st century, kids. It's the 21st century. And people are having measles parties rather than getting their kid a safe vaccination.
Okay, next time I hear about a measles party, I'm going to glue the door shut and set that apartment on fire. Because I will be doing a favor to the rest of society.
Well, you would be, but there are penalties for that. That's a bit of an overreaction. Meanwhile...
hyperbolizing.
Meanwhile, from NBC New York, this goes back a couple of weeks, Rockland County has declared a state of emergency and banned children who are unvaccinated against the measles from public places after a local outbreak entered its 26th week, the longest since the disease was eradicated in the United States in 2000, according to officials in The New York. I might want to get a copy editor there, NBC New York, according to officials in The New York. Are we calling it The New York now?
That drives
me
nuts.
The ban.
I don't know if we're doing that in the Boston yet.
The Boston. No, we don't. We're not the Boston.
Wait, we're in the Medford. I'm sorry.
Yes, we're but well, no, it's no.
We're near the Cambridge.
We're in the Meffa. Call it by its proper name. The Meffa. We're in the Meffa.
I'm sorry. I don't speak North Shore.
This is from March 26th. The ban went into effect at midnight Wednesday. So I think that was March 25th. Barring anyone younger than 18 who is unvaccinated against the measles from public places until they receive the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, the ban expires in 30 days. Now, guess what happened with this one, Shay Spillane?
I almost don't want to know.
Guess what happened? Here is a...
Did they all die of the measles?
Here are Here are county officials recognizing a public health crisis and trying to do the right thing as best they can. Guess what happened? The parents of the unvaccinated children sued the county officials.
You're kidding me.
Saying the policy is unconstitutional and it is now making its way through the courts.
That's absurd.
Yes.
That is absurd.
This, my friends, is how the human race will end. This is how we will... Well, no.
From morons.
No. This is how the majority of the human race will die. Because if you take any one of these like dire illnesses that comes along, there are some people who are immune to it. There are always some, somewhere, who are immune to it.
I mean, I can't get poison ivy.
I
think is hilarious.
That's a lottery ticket.
I just want to like rub my butt against it, like, yeah. Hey guys, I'm immune to this.
But this is, you know, when we get the next outbreak of Spanish flu, when we get the next outbreak of smallpox or something that we don't even know about yet, that is killing people left and right, this is what's going to happen. People are going to be like, oh, I'm not getting my child vaccinated because that causes autism. And then the public health officials are going to be like, stay home. And people are going to say, you can't tell me to stay home, public health official. I don't trust the government. I'm suing.
Maybe,
and you're all going to die.
Maybe I sound like a spoiled little brat.
You're all going
to
die.
I would rather be autistic without smallpox, to be perfectly frank.
Except the vaccine doesn't cause autism. That's junk science that's been debunked 20 million different times by now.
No, but this is what I'm saying is that, first of all, they're all morons. But second of all, even if the thought process behind this was true, you really would prefer that your child have the measles than be autistic? What kind of thought process, even if that was true, what kind of thought process is that?
Well, I think the belief is that the child will get over the measles, but the child won't get over being autistic.
Well, guess what? Maybe if they get the measles, they're going to die, and then it won't matter whether or not they ended up being autistic.
Yes, but they won't be autistic, Shay. And that's the point. And
I dated an autistic dude. Like, they're kind of cool. They're really smart.
There's levels.
And often very good at music.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm just telling you what we're up against here. I mean, this
morons.
Is...
Morons. What we're up against is morons.
This is commercial grade...
Like, this is absurd. Yeah.
This is commercial grade stupid.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't even... I can't even... I'm not trying to be a jerk and be
Shay.
Like, oh my God, I'm so smart. But like, I can't even comprehend what level they're thinking on.
Shay, somebody on the internet said vaccines are bad.
Joel,
someone on the internet said it.
Can you punch everyone? Joel
vaccines
just
are bad. No, Joel's not going to punch anyone. Joel's not the punching type.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, Joel yells and gets...
Is there a fighter out there in the air studio? Because I need a fighter right now.
Joel yells. Joel gets red in the face.
I need someone to punch me in the face so that I black out and don't remember this conversation.
And then Joel writes passive-aggressive emails. Those are the three stages of anger in Joel.
Oh, I love passive-aggressive emails.
Oh, wait. Did you see the one I just wrote?
Get it.
Is it in my inbox? Not yet.
I'm saying it's got to be to Derek.
Yeah.
That made me feel a little better.
Seriously.
But I just don't, like, that's what's crazy is, like, and it's why I really hate the internet, to be frank, is that anyone can say anything.
Yeah.
Whereas before the internet existed, if you ever got any form of reading material, it would be from an expert. It would be from somebody who actually knew what the hell they were talking about. Whereas the internet, it's like, I've had some health concerns recently, and every website I look at, it's a different thing. It's telling me different things, you know? Like, there's like no way of knowing what's reliable. And if someone's a dum-dum, like these idiots who are not vaccinating their children, they're going to read one website and say, this is the Bible. Like,
right.
This is truth.
But here's the thing. even if the government comes out and they're like, no, that's not true, someone else will put out a website saying the government is lying to you, don't believe them. So you can choose to be as dumb as you want in this society.
I wish I could choose to be dumb. It sounds so lovely.
It will ultimately prove fatal for you or your children.
Like I'm having children.
In some cases. No, I'm talking about the listeners. It will ultimately prove fatal for you or your children in some cases. Some people get away with it, and people get away with it, and that's how the lie is able to stand. But this is madness. This is absolute madness. I come from the 1970s. Things were different then. And back in the 1970s, you could not be accepted at a school, public, private, or otherwise, unless you had your vaccinations. Everyone was vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. My mom works for Quincy Public Schools, and that's one of the things. Is like, you cannot go to school unless you have A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Right. The only people who weren't vaccinated were people like John Travolta when he was the boy in the bubble. Who had compromised immune systems.
I always kind of thought that looked soothing in a way. Just like living inside a bubble.
Yeah, but you never get touched.
He can still kiss her through the bubble.
Yeah, no, but you know, masturbation gets old after a while. It really does.
Speak for yourself.
I'm just saying, don't sign me up for life in the bubble. So everybody got vaccinated. Every kid got vaccinated. Everyone I knew growing up got vaccinated. There was one kid.
Yeah, I remember getting the MMR when I was four.
There was one kid I grew up with who died young, unfortunately. He had a bunch of health problems, and he may not have been, but you know, he was sick. He was sick all the time, and vaccination, no vaccination, there were health problems there. But he was possibly the only person I knew who wasn't vaccinated. We didn't get the measles. We didn't get the mumps. Everybody got the chicken pox because we didn't.
Because everyone gets the chicken pox.
Well, they didn't do vaccinella back then.
I don't even know, to be honest with you. I didn't even know that a chicken pox vaccination existed.
It's been around since the 1950s, but they never really gave it to anybody.
Yeah. Like, it was always just like, get it when you're a kid so you don't have to get it when you're an adult when it's like really, really bad.
So back in the 1970s, every kid got vaccinated and we didn't have a lot of autism. Autism. Autism was a thing.
Wait, but was there a lot of ADHD?
No, we didn't have that either.
That was me being cheeky.
You know, we had
wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we nudgety, had, nudge, nudge,
we
nudge,
had
nudge, nudge.
Sit down and shut up. You're getting your ass warm.
I was going to say, it's like, shh. That's what ADHD, that was the cure for ADHD back in the days. Shh.
Yeah. Sit down and shut up. That's how they cured it. But the
So you took the Irish medicine for that.
No,
I get it.
We have a lot of autism now. Autism rates are up, and it's documented that autism rates are up. And vaccinations are down. And yet autism rates are up. Maybe something
else.
Everyone's
an idiot.
Maybe something else possibly is causing the autism. I'm just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out there is a possibility.
I blame the ozone layer.
Yeah. So this is how we die. This is how it ends. This is how the world ends, with people suing to allow them the right to go out in public and keep spreading a highly communicable disease.
Well, see, I've already had the measles four times, so I'm good.
I, generally speaking, don't think that fascist authoritarians have the answer to anything. But when it comes to communicable disease, there is something reassuring about the idea of a government that will put armed guards outside of everyone's home to make sure they don't leave.
Pretty much when a doctor tells me something, even if I'm a bit skeptical, I'll still be like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
If it's about my health. I mean, if it's about anything else, I'm like, I'm probably smarter than you. But if it's about my health, then yeah, doctor tells me something, like maybe get an MMR so that you don't get the measles, the mumps, or rubella. I'm like, yeah, I should totally have you stick that needle in my arm because I'm not a complete and absolute dumb. Like, God, it's I apologize, listeners, for getting so upset, but like this.
No, I mean it's
is absurd.
I'm apoplectic with this. I'm like, how dumb can you people be? This is commercial grade stupid. Go where you want. Doesn't have to be world.
Where do I wanna go? Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, actually, this isn't even world. This is universe.
I know there's a story that you want to talk about. And I want to make sure that we give that the time it deserves. Yes. Yes.
Should I do that now or should I do my global?
I'd suggest doing that story now.
So Aunt Becky, as prosecutors move forward in the cases against Lori Loughlin and her husband in the high-profile college admissions cheating scandal, they are sending a very clear message. The defendant's money and status will not help them. The source...
Wait. Their money and status won't help... Shay, that's un-American. That's un-American.
They really want to make sure that there isn't this perception that these people are able to skate by because they're rich. A legal source close to the case tells People magazine. They want to make sure everyone is equal in the eyes of the law. The source says prosecutors are pushing for jail time for Loughlin, fellow actress Felicity Huffman, and more than 40 other defendants. Now, the reason that Derek wanted to allow me to talk about this story is because I feel a very, very personal connection to it. Because I did not want to go to college, but it was very important to my father, who had to struggle really hard in order to get his bachelor's degree. He had to pay his way through college.
Your dad touched corpses so that...
I was going to say, my dad touched corpses so that he could get his bachelor's degree.
Yeah, so he could go to
law. And so that he could get his JD, his Juris Doctor degree. Yeah.
He handled dead people, okay? That is working your way through college.
I mean, it's pretty cool, though.
The kids today, they're not doing that. They're not like, no, I'm not going to go be an undertaker.
People always think it's weird that I think it's dope that my dad was an undertaker, but I do think it's dope.
Yeah.
But it was very important to my father. My father worked his butt off so that he could send me, my brother, and sister to college. And so even though I didn't want to go to college, it was really important to me to get into a good one. And I... worked my butt off. I took the SATs twice. I tutored a girl a year ahead of me. I volunteered for student council. I did Green Team, which was our environmental society. I managed the lacrosse team. I hate lacrosse. I hate lacrosse.
Lax, bro.
It is rich kid pussy soccer. Or sorry, I'm not supposed to say that on the... radio. I'm sorry, but no, I hate lacrosse. And I worked my butt off to get into college, mostly just to make my father happy.
Right.
And these spoiled little buttheads are getting into USC because their mom was like famous in the 90s. Like, are you kidding me?
No, because she paid the sweet, sweet monies because bribery money exchanged hands.
But that's the thing is I went to Fordham University, which is arguably
a good school.
I was going to say as good a school as the one we're sitting on the campus of right now.
Amongst your Catholic universities, one of the better ones, Catholic University.
But I worked my butt off to get there, and I went to college with kids like this whose parents were just, and don't get me wrong, I grew up very comfortably and like I wanted for nothing, but at the same time like I did chores. I had a job in high school.
That did not involve touching dead people.
That did not involve... I mean, that would have been way cooler. I had to turn on people's tanning beds. That was no fun. But I really worked hard to get into college. And I went to college with kids like this. With kids who just... I remember there was a dude that lived on my floor... who told me he got a 960 on the SATs. This is when it was out of 1600. And I was like, you got a 960? That's slightly over what I got on one section.
Did he get an 800 in one of them?
No. Okay. That would have been great, right?
Yeah.
If you get an 800 in math, just yeah. I was like I just don't. I'm just not really good at English stuff.
Words.
But I don't like. I said to him, I was like, "You get a 960, and I are going to the same school. Like, this is so absurd." But
some
like,
people don't test well.
He also had a 2.1 average in high school.
What sport did he play?
Football.
There you go. All right. Boom. Okay.
I was going to say, you're like, there's something. But there were lots of kids who didn't play a sport, who didn't. It was just like their daddy made a call.
Yeah.
And like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, like I wanted for nothing growing up. I definitely lived a very comfortable life, and I'm very, very grateful for that.
Do not, by the
but
way.
But I still worked my butt off. My daddy could not make a call to get me into Fordham University or to get my sister into Georgetown to get my brother into Tulane. We all worked really, 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 right. really hard.
Do not underestimate the fact that if you tell a university you are willing to pay full ride at like market rate tuition, they will overlook low test scores and things like that.
Oh, yes. I'm aware of that.
Sometimes you don't have to make the phone call. You just got to say, oh, yeah, we'll pay the tuition. And they're like, boom. Hi. Welcome.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that my dad's financial goal. Sorry, Dad. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the radio, but here we go. My dad's financial goal was to be able to put us all through college, which he did.
Now he's living the good life.
But at the same time, oh yeah.
Vegas.
My dad is dope. Like I look I
taking
look,
the Bentley to orchids in Asia.
Oh, and he doesn't have a Bentley, it's just a Lexus. but again, even though like I said, I didn't really want to go to college, I wouldn't trade the experience
right.
for anything. But it was still, you know,
Plus,
it wasn't like I was like rolling in the dough while I was there, you know.
Plus,
like,
you can now wear an impressive university sweatshirt with authority.
Well, to be honest, my favorite Fordham sweatshirt that I have is the one that I stole from my boyfriend, who, yes, was on the football team because I dated all football players because I like when men are enormous compared to me.
Right, and you're if you want someone taller than you, like 80%,
I have to date a football player.
80% of the male population is gone. You know, it's just the way it goes.
My dummy in California is 6'3". I told him was like, even if you do wrong in every other area, you're taller than me. I'm 6 feet tall. For those anyone who listens knows. But yeah, like I went to college with kids like this. And it's what's worse is I had classes with kids like this.
Oh my God, college is so hard.
Who, like, I remember there was this dum-dum who always wore scarves. Scarves? Scarves? What's the plural of scarves?
Scarves.
Scarves.
Are and you sure you went to Fordham and you don't know that plural? Just
asking. I don't wear scarves. Shut up. Up
you look good in scarves. You should wear scarves.
I wear them every once in a while if it's the one that my dad bought me. But I like being cold. But he would always, and he'd just sit there in the middle of like a published author teaching us, and he'd just like twirl a scarf.
Oh, it's a dude wearing a scarf.
A dude.
Oh, no. Is he gay?
No, he used to hit on me all the time.
No, straight dude wearing scarf?
His name was Richard, and I'd call him Rich, and he'd say, it's Richard.
Did he go by Chad? Like, he should go by Chad if he's
wearing a scarf.
Oh, my God.
He was a total Chad.
Yeah.
But he would sit there twirling his scarf while a published author who
I'm an intellectual.
I purposely took multiple classes with this professor because he was so brilliant. And, like, I just loved listening to him speak. Like, I loved learning from him.
Yeah.
And this dum-dum is sitting, like, leaning back in his chair, twirling his scarf and not paying attention. And I would look at him and just be like, you spoiled little jerk.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how lucky you are to listen to this person teach you things?
Why is the professor putting up? Because this is why I can't be a professor. Because
the professor gave him a D. I talked to him about it.
If that's my classroom,
his office hours talking
I'm like,
longer.
Hey, straight dude in the scarf, no more scarf in the classroom. All right, don't come in here wearing that again. Or if you're thinking of coming in here wearing that again, just don't come back. Get out. Take your scarf and go.
Richard, I hope whatever poor woman he ended up marrying castrated him.
Yeah.
At a party once when we were in college, he said, Do you even understand how lucky you are that I find you attractive and want to take you out? Mm-hmm. And I just looked at him and I was like, it's funny because I always consider myself unlucky because I would pay more money than your daddy has to have you never talk to me again. But anyways, I hope Lori Loughlin and her children and her husband rot in jail.
Why, Aunt Becky? Why? Why?
Should have had two twin boys, dummy.
Interesting that Felicity Huffman pled
guilty.
She
pled guilty,
Like 20 odd parents have pled guilty in this.
Which, like, I mean...
And not only did Felicity Huffman plead guilty, but she actually released what read like a heartfelt statement apologizing for what she'd done. in which she basically said... I'm sorry, I don't think my daughter's very smart, and I wanted her to go to college. And it's sort of like, there are reasons why she's done this. And
it's so wonderful. She's like, my father taught me a very important concept when I was in my early 20s. And it's called falling on your sword.
Yeah.
It's when you absolutely... did a really, really stupid thing, and the best way to make up for it is just totally own it.
And it's like, but think about what's happened.
And that's what Felicity Huffman did. It's just like, I'm going to be completely honest about all of this.
Felicity Huffman paid $15,000 to have somebody fix her daughter's test score. That's it. That's all she, unlike these other parents who are now being indicted.
Do you know how hard I studied for the SATs?
I know. But here's the thing. We don't even know if her daughter needed it or not. Felicity Huffman apparently thought her daughter did, which... Can you imagine what her relationship with her daughter is like now? Because daughter did not know that this was going on. So.
Oh, man.
So daughter picks up...
Dad, you didn't fix my SAT scores, did you? Because I was like really proud of those.
Daughter picks up the newspaper or goes online and then calls mom and she's like, so you think I'm dumb? Is that... And Felicity Huffman is like, oh. So that relationship may never be mended. But here's the thing.
I'm going to start crying.
The most interesting thing about the Felicity Huffman case is that in most of these cases, both of the parents were indicted.
I was going to say, and there's like 40 people who have been indicted in this.
Felicity Huffman is the interesting exception to this. Her husband, who is William H. Macy, you may know him.
I love William H. Macy.
Was not indicted.
Why?
Well, this is my theory. I don't know this, but all of these cases are built on tape-recorded conversations with William Rick Scott, okay? Rick is not a nickname for William. Don't do business with people who have strange nicknames. Good life lesson.
Yeah, that's fair.
So all of these cases against these people
Like this bitch I know, Shay.
Are based on wiretaps. They're based on...
My real name's Melissa.
We recorded all the conversations where he explained what they were doing. I am guessing the fact that William H. Macy was not indicted means that Felicity Huffman went out and did this on her own.
Yeah.
And specifically said something along the lines of, hey, you can't just call here. My husband doesn't know. My daughter doesn't know.
That makes total sense.
Like, you're going to meet me on the corner and we're going to talk about this and I'll hand you the money. But don't. So by taking the plea... That ends it.
Well, if
there is any other evidence that maybe implicates him, because her career right now is done.
Yeah.
His career is protected.
He's on Shameless.
Yeah. Like, his career is protected. She's done. But she's done in the sense that 5 years from now, Felicity Huffman's going to get an acting job somewhere, and this will be a footnote.
Yeah. This will be a blip.
Lori Loughlin did the really bad thing.
Yep.
Lori Loughlin handed over the bribe money with her husband. Here is the bribe money. Please get our daughters into USC. And Lori Loughlin was Little Miss Goody Two Shoes. So it's over. It's done. Her career is finished.
See, here's the thing. I don't mean to be a snob, but at least like, what was the name of that idiot that shot up UC Santa Barbara and then killed himself?
Oh, the incel guy with the chads and the...
The one who... He was a movie producer's son.
So you're going to make me look this guy up now.
I can't believe I can't think of his
name
right now.
I try to forget their names.
Yeah, me too. But at least, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be a snob. UC Santa Barbara's a very good school, but it's not like USC is like the dream school for some people. You know what I mean? Like that is like a huge Elliot Roger. I just remembered it.
Yes. And it's like, that's why I don't remember that name because it's so basic. No, it's so basic.
But he, like, his dad clearly made a phone call and got him into UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
But UC Santa Barbara, don't get me wrong, very good school. But at the same time, it's not like, it's no one dreams of going to UC Santa Barbara. You know what I mean?
Well, people, if you like the beach.
People, it's not even that warm there all year. But, like, people dream of going to USC. Like, people.
Yeah.
Would kill to go to USC.
Yeah, good film school.
And these little, yeah, they have an amazing film school. But these little dum-dums just had their mommy made a phone, like.
No. This wasn't mommy made a phone call. This
made was, a phone call and dropped off a briefcase full of money.
This is, mommy gave $200,000 to William Rick Scott, who then handed it over to the crew coach.
I can't believe that people just have 200 grand lying around. I think that that's the thing that bugs me the most. Like, I am fighting an old boss to pay me the 120 bucks he owes me.
You got to start doing them Hallmark movies. That's apparently where the money is.
In the Hallmark movies.
That's where Lori Loughlin was getting it.
If I just kissed up to that producer from Lifetime.
I mean, think about it. She's doing Hallmark movies and TV series.
I'm too tall. I was just talking to my mother about this today.
He's got a clothing line at Target. You don't look at either one of those things as aspirational. But
they pay the bills.
But they're making enough money to like bribe your kids way into college. That's good cash. That's good money. Like, go do those things.
Oh my God. This is why I could never, ever, ever have children, because I would not care enough to drop off a
let that be your aspiration.
A briefcase filled with 200 grand to get them into college. Danica. And pretend they know how to row. That, I think, is the best part, is that it's like, it couldn't just be like get them into college. It's pretend they know how to do a sport that they don't know how to do. And my sister rowed in college. Like, it is hard.
Oh, yeah.
She literally would do, what do they call them? Ergs. That's the, when you use the rowing machine. She would do ergs to the point of throwing up. Like, she'd do ergs for 2 hours at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And they had, and it was funny because she told me that she threw up from doing it once. And I was like, that's insane. Like, did your coach give you a break? She goes, oh no, they like put waste baskets next to you expecting that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell are you doing this sport? You remember when we played soccer? Did you ever throw up playing soccer? Like,
what's the bucket for? You'll know when it happens.
Yeah, you'll know instantly.
You'll know when it happens. Yep. Yeah. So.
Oh my God! I feel that was very cathartic. Thank you. I really, really, really wanted to rant about Aunt Becky.
Why, Aunt Becky? Why? Why?
Like. And I mean, the thing that kills me the most about this, just to finish on this topic, is that her dumb daughter is a freaking Instagram star. She didn't even have to go to college.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. She didn't even have to go to college. She could have been one of those LA dumdums that I have met a million of when I lived there.
Lori Loughlin and her husband didn't go to college.
Exactly. And it's not like, even if she didn't get married off to somebody 15 years older than her, which she would have in like 3 years, she'd still be fine financially. There's no reason for her to have had to go to college. And now, because Lori Loughlin and her husband are an idiot, her career is ruined. Her husband's career is ruined. Their daughter's future is ruined. All because they pretended she knew how to row crew.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm going to sleep so well tonight after ranting about that. It's quite lovely. It's like a warm glass of milk.
The plot thickens. I have been loving this story.
I can't stop. Like, every time I have a Google alert, like, I can't stop reading.
this is my favorite. The plot thickens down in Miami. I talked about this last week. And I still have not seen a translation of the flyer.
You mean when you were talking to yourself last week?
Journalists are lazy. I'm tired of lazy journalists. From the Miami Herald. One of the things I love about this story, by the way, is that this is being picked up entirely by the local press. Like, the Nationals won't touch it. And if we have time, I'll get into why that's happening. But we have local reporters doing great shoe leather journalism on this.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're finding people who will talk to them. And apparently a lot of people are very willing to talk about this thing, which is great because you never get behind the scenes on these stories. So this one is from the Miami Herald. Quote, she lies to everyone. Feds say Mar-a-Lago intruder had hidden camera detector in hotel. This is a follow-up to the story last week. A federal prosecutor argued in court Monday that Yujing Zhang, the Chinese woman arrested trying to enter President Donald Trump's private Mar-a-Lago club in Palm Beach, quote, lies to everyone she encounters, end quote, adding that a search of her hotel room uncovered more than $8,000 in cash, as well as a signal detector device used to reveal hidden cameras. Found in the search, $7,800, $7,500 in U.S. $100 bills and $663 in Chinese currency.
What?
In addition to 9 USB drives, 5 SIM cards, and other electronics, according to federal prosecutor Rolando Garcia. Signal detectors are portable devices that can detect radio waves, magnetic fields, and hidden camera equipment. Prosecutors are treating the case as a national security matter, and an FBI counterintelligence squad is investigating, sources familiar with the inquiry told the Miami Herald. Zhang gave conflicting accounts of why she went to Mar-a-Lago on March 30th, at one point saying she had been invited to attend a social event, according to an affidavit filed by the U.S. Secret Service. But she was found to be carrying several electronic devices, including a thumb drive containing, quote, malicious malware, end quote, the Secret Service said. That raised suspicions among federal investigators who are already probing possible Chinese intelligence operations in South Florida that Zhang could be engaged in espionage. Quote, the preliminary analysis of her phones shows she was not there for an event at Mar-a-Lago, end quote, Garcia said during a detention hearing at the federal courthouse in West Palm Beach. But Zhang's federal public defender, Robert Adler, presented evidence that Zhang had in fact paid for a travel package that would include a visit to Mar-a-Lago, a fact that could weaken the government's allegation that she lied to the Secret Service about the event in order to gain access to the president's club. The party Zhang said she planned to attend had been promoted online by Lee Cindy Yang, a former South Florida massage parlor owner who ran a business that promised Chinese clients photos and meetings with Trump. But the Safari Night charity gala had been canceled after the Miami Herald first reported on Yang's access selling business last month, including a selfie she took with the president. Now, Lee Yang is the woman who formerly owned the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. I don't know if it was Orchids of Asia. She formerly owned several rub and tug massage parlors in the Florida area.
Oh, there's two of us?
And she was the one that was seen at the Super Bowl party over the shoulder of President Trump.
Do you ever, like, I watch the news every morning. Do you ever wake up, watch the news, and think, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
On Monday.
Every news story I read, especially in the last 2 years, it just, I feel like it's pretend. I feel like I'm being, for lack of a better term, I feel like I'm being punked. Like,
on Monday, wearing a short-sleeved navy blue detainee uniform and chewing her lower lip, Zhang, she's the one that was arrested, not Yang, Zhang, glanced repeatedly at the crowd of journalists who had gathered for the hearing.
I wouldn't want to mistake one Chinese woman who owns a brothel for the other Chinese woman.
No, but it's Yang and Zhang, and it's easy. We're in radio.
I understand.
People confuse that. Her hands were clenched in fists so tight they began to turn red. This is why I like local journalists doing this. That's good reporting.
I was going to say, that really, it paints a picture in your brain.
Listen to this one more time. On Monday, wearing a short-sleeved navy blue detainee uniform and chewing her lower lip, Zhang glanced repeatedly at the crowd of journalists who had gathered for the hearing. Her hands were clenched in fists so tight they began to turn red. She appeared to speak in English with one of the attorneys representing her, although a court-appointed Mandarin interpreter was also present. When the hearing started, she began taking notes on a yellow legal pad. Adler, Zhang's attorney, pushed back during the hearing on the idea that she was a spy. Quote, she did not have the type of devices that can be associated with espionage activities, end quote. Garcia, the prosecutor, replied that there is no allegation.
Sorry, the word espionage.
She was involved in espionage. All of this is irrelevant. That's good to know, Adler said. Later, Garcia said he could not rule out more serious charges. Investigators are still trying to determine the nature of the malware Zhang allegedly brought into the club, sources told the Herald. It is not clear how much of a threat the malware posed and whether it might have been intended to gather information at the president's club or possibly to destroy an existing network or program. Secret Service agent Samuel Ivanovich. Local journalists actually get a Secret Service agent to go on the record.
I was just going to say, that is incredibly impressive.
I don't know if this came out of the evidence or they actually talked to him. Can you imagine the Washington Times doing this anymore? No, you can't. Secret Service agent Samuel Ivanovich, who interviewed Zhang on the day of her arrest, testified at the hearing. He stated that when another agent put Zhang's thumb drive into his computer, it immediately began to install files, a very out-of-the-ordinary event that he had never seen happen before during this kind of analysis. The agent had to immediately stop the analysis to halt any further corruption of his computer, Ivanovich testified. The analysis is ongoing, but still inconclusive. Now,
oh my goodness gracious.
That's how they got this, by the way. It was open testimony. I talked about this story last week. And Zhang, the woman who was arrested, we will recall, she shows up at Mar-a-Lago. And she says she's there to use the pool. And the hotel staff and the Secret Service, or the Secret Service talks to the hotel staff and they look it over and they're like, yeah, we think she's with this group.
If I had a nickel, hey, every hotel in LA, I wasn't actually staying there. Continue.
So they let her in to go to the pool. She then gets on a courtesy shuttle and goes to the front desk and says, I'm here for the United Nations friendship event. And they're like, there is no United Nations friendship event.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
So they call the Secret Service. There was supposed to be an event there that night promoted by Zhang, the other one, the one who owned the massage parlors, where there would be an opportunity to meet Donald Trump's sister. That event was canceled because the Miami Herald had already blown up what was going on with this.
Jesus.
So Zhang is now trying to keep a low profile, cancels the event. The Secret Service talks to Zhang, the spy, alleged spy, and she doesn't speak English, or maybe she speaks English, they don't know. She says that she came to the United States at the request of someone named Charles, whom she had never met, and only communicated with by text.
Well, that doesn't sound sketchy at all.
Charles told her to go to the United States and speak with the Trump family about Chinese economic relations.
I reiterate, that doesn't sound sketchy at all.
She is carrying 4 cell phones and this USB drive with the malware on it. Red flags going off all over the place.
I was just
going
to say, there might as well have been blood on her hands.
Red flag. But now that this is in the court, is where this gets interesting. Because now we find out that Charles...
Oh my goodness, tis a tangled web we weave.
Charles apparently, according to Zhang, is a travel agent who booked the trip for her. And apparently...
Yeah, okay.
No, apparently her defense attorneys have been able to verify this.
Yeah, but I mean, if I call Al Capone and have him plan a trip to Chicago for me, it's still Al Capone.
Well, here's the thing.
May he rest in peace.
There is an old term that floats around in the intelligence community and is the sort of...
Are you trying to imply that I'm not a member of the community
of
intelligence?
It is the guiding principle of the CIA. Whenever you are doing field work, there are two words that everything has to conform to. Plausible deniability. Mm. That is their guiding principle. If you are out in the field and you get caught... If you are doing things right, you can maintain plausible deniability.
Yeah, you can just say, I got lost on my way to McDonald's.
I was just taking pictures of the landscape. I didn't know there was a secret military installation over there. I always hike 70 miles away from civilization. Sure.
I was supposed to meet my girlfriend here. I can't find her anywhere.
I'm an American tourist. I'm a missionary. I'm an ambassador. Plausible deniability. That's the name of the game.
Yeah, my dad taught me that when I was 5. That's why I've never been arrested.
This woman may or may not be a spy. And now that this is in court, the federal government is having to prove that she is if they want to keep her here. And so far, they are running into a lot of obstacles to do that. Now, if she does, in fact, have devices that can detect hidden cameras and wiretaps in her hotel room, that is more or less a dead giveaway that you are a spy. The $7,000 in cash, not unusual for Chinese tourists.
Yeah, that's fair. Because I mean, it's their version of traveler's check.
No, they come over here and dump it in the banks. They will open a bank account and put it here, and then I've got money in the United States if I have to bug out.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, it's funny you put it that way, because I was just going to say, now that you mentioned that, it's like a bug-out bag, just a bug-out bag that you have in a bank in the United States.
The malware on the USB drive, is it a Chinese hacking tool? Is it just a virus that people have? You know, you go to the wrong porn site, you get a virus, you put it on a USB drive, you got a virus. The 4 cell phones, kind of suspicious. I got to be honest. I don't know too many people. Say,
that is a really, really, like everything you've mentioned up to there, there's plenty that you could justify away. But I don't know anyone that has, and like when I was in high school, I dated a drug dealer. Like, I don't know anyone that has more than one cell phone, or at least more than two.
I could give you an answer. I can give you a possibility for this.
There's no service. One of them's Chinese. One of them, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Nope. Pokemon Go player going to Florida to load up on rare Pokemon that are only available in Florida while she's here.
Not everyone is as much of a loser as you, Derek.
I'm just saying. If you are a Pokemon Go player and you travel, people stock up on the things.
I don't understand, though. So you'd need more than one phone so that you could get more?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, get them on across 4 different. So if you see one and you have 4 different accounts, then you can catch one on each account. And now you have that same Pokemon 4 times. People do it. There's a well-known guy in Japan.
I'm so glad I don't understand nerd culture because it's hurting my brain.
There's a well-known guy in Japan who has rigged up a bicycle with 9 cell phones.
Oh, is he well-known?
Yes, he's very well-known. He's rigged up a bicycle.
Wait, like well-known like Miley Cyrus is well-known, or well-known like nerds like you know?
Like internet famous. Like internet famous Japanese. Like you mentioned the Japanese guy with the phones and Pokemon players are like, oh, that guy. He's rigged up.
So like PJ would be super pumped if we were talking about this right now.
He's rigged up a bicycle with 9 smartphones so that he can just bike around Tokyo and catch 9 of everything. He can do his own raid battles solo.
This is a real human being that you're describing right now.
Yes, and I've seen people in Boston with multiple cell phone rigs.
Have you told them that knitting is fun?
It's what we're into. You like knitting? We like catching Pokemon.
I actually don't like knitting. Well, but I do like, to be fair, I like doing origami, which I guess is another nerdy Japanese thing to do.
There is something stupid that you enjoy. Right.
There are lots of stupid things I enjoy.
This is the stupid thing that we enjoy. The problem is that our stupid thing is visible because we're out in public, like
I was gonna say,
walking around like zombies with our phones.
That's the thing of it for me is that like I wouldn't give you as much guff as I do about it if like you and I weren't sitting at a bar together and you suddenly are like glued to your phone.
I'm listening.
Trying to find a Pikachu.
I'm always listening. I don't need my ears to play the game. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, but like I can make you a paper crane out of a cocktail napkin without looking as, I guess it's just because I don't like being around you when you look nerdy. I can't.
Sorry.
No, I guess that's not true because I like being around you all the time and you always look nerdy.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I mean, I need that. I need that. Like sitting in a bar and looking at a cell phone makes me look normal.
Well, it's just, I was going to say, that's the thing is that like you look super normal unless you're sitting a foot from you and you're like, oh my God, this middle-aged man that I purposely spend time with is looking for a Pokemon.
He's trying to be a millennial. It's a midlife crisis. No, just playing Pokemon. So I would encourage anybody to keep an eye on this story that's going on.
I thought
on.
You were
going
to say to play Pokemon Go.
No.
And I was like, please, Derek, don't spread this disease you have.
I would encourage anyone to keep an eye on this story that's going on with this arrest down at Mar-a-Lago because...
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's incredibly interesting. There's also moving parts.
One of two things is happening here. Either a completely innocent woman is being like subjected to the worst of the American justice system because, you know, once the CIA and the Secret Service and the FBI are involved, it's not fun. OK, these are like high crimes. This is treason.
Yeah, I was going to say this is like
and
this is federal level crime.
And if you're an innocent person, that's not fun at all. I don't see the Chinese consulate rushing to her defense, by the way, which is now
kind of damning.
The very more likely possibility,
especially
here.
Like the China, it'd be different. I'm sorry to interrupt, but it'd be different if it was any other country. But like the Chinese consulate, if they didn't think she was guilty, they would be like banging down doors.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
no, there. I have not
being like no, she didn't do a thing.
Remember when they arrested the Huawei? The daughter of the Huawei executive
in Canada. Yeah.
And China was
flipped out.
Immediately on the phone, like, give us our citizen back now.
Yeah, like, dámelo ahorita.
Like, what are you doing? Where is our citizen?
Give me that right now for those of you who don't speak Spanish.
Curiously, not happening in this case.
Yeah. They're
curiously.
That they're dead silent in this is, it speaks volumes.
So there is a very real possibility that she is a spy. And that all of this...
Say the word again.
There's a very real possibility...
Espionage.
...that she is a spy, and that this is really good plausible deniability. This is really good spy craft. If you have always wanted to follow what goes on in the intelligence community, but didn't know where to begin, because it's one of those things, you kind of have to stumble into the coverage, and then learn to recognize things and recognize where it's coming from. This is a good jumping off point if you're interested in sort of keeping tabs on what the CIA and FBI are up to, because everyone is in on this thing. And there is a lot that's being said here about the kinds of attacks that people are carrying out and the way that they carry them out. Because if this is what intelligence thinks it is, the mission was get inside Mar-a-Lago and plant this malware somewhere. Go stick this thumb drive in a computer or in somebody's phone and get this virus in there.
Yeah, it feels very, I can't believe that this is the example I'm going to use, but have you seen the Charlie's Angels movies, like the modern ones? There's a plot line in that where they stick a tracking device onto the dude they're trying to track's car. And this reminds me very much of that, where it's like they do it like super casually, like just one of them distracts him and then the other one sticks it on there. But like, this is what like this sounds like, you know what I mean? And I can't help but picture this Chinese woman as being Lucy Liu either.
This may be, the other thing that this may be is replace so-and-so's cell phone with this cell phone, which is why she's carrying four of them. That they've cloned the phone and replaced it with one
that makes so
that has
much
listening devices
sense.
On it. Interesting story to watch.
WMFO Medford.
On the Tell Mikey D, coming your way in 7 minutes, right after this, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. KMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture. But before we go, we're going to tell you what's hot, which is our favorite thing from the last or coming week. For me, as usual, I have to wax a bit poetic about my best friend in the whole world. She is my best friend, Kim Cherry. She is moving on in The Voice. She won her battle 2 weeks ago. And she's I don't even know what's going to happen now, which is weird because, you know, she's my best friend. But I want you guys to tune into The Voice. It's on NBC on Mondays. And keep an eye out for Kim Cherry. She's amazing. She's from one of the hottest bands in Boston, and she's just killing it on that show. And I would just love if you guys supported her as much as you support me and Dee. But yeah, so keep an eye out.
You go, Kim. We're rooting for you back here in Boston. Do us proud.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to save promotion of this until later in the month, but I've been told I have to move this up. Saturday, May 4th, 7:30 p.m., Sunday, May 5th at 2 p.m. Yours truly, me. Did you know that I sing? Yes, I sing. And I will be,
I've heard him. He's pretty good.
And I will be appearing alongside my wife, who can really sing, in Titanic, in Titanic the Musical. You heard the promo earlier tonight. I will be appearing in that show at the North Shore Music Theater. That's Saturday, May 4th at 7:30. That's the night show. Sunday, May 5th at 2 o'clock. No Jack and no Rose. This is the Broadway musical version of Titanic.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like the, it's the hardcore... real not, oh my God, yeah, my heart will go on version.
I'm going to tell you, this show is awesome, and I'm going to tell you.
Oh, it's amazing. I love that musical.
It sounds incredible.
Oh, I can't wait. Do you know that that's actually, you open the day after my birthday? Totally coming.
Even with me putting the harm back in harmony, it sounds incredible. And it's like, I will be in the middle of rehearsal, and I am just awestruck to be a part of this thing.
And ladies and gents, I am helping him with his Irish brogue. So do not worry.
So
it's going to be very genuine.
If you want tickets, nsmt.org. Nsmt.org. That is the North Shore Music Theater site. Nsmt.org. Go. We are, as of last night, down to less than 100 tickets for both nights. And we're selling like... I think 1,800 tickets across the two shows.
Goodness.
So we have less than 100
That's
tickets
awesome.
Left for each show. So if you want to go, this is the time to go and get your tickets while there are still great seats available. NSMT.org, Titanic the Musical. Hopefully I will see you there the first weekend in May.
Yeah.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture, but we have one more segment for you, which is That's a Thing That Happened, which is basically the craziest story we could find from the last week. For me, this is, we're going down to Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Not quite Florida, as we usually do, but we're close. But as arson, this is actually a really cool story. As arson investigators work to find out who has been setting Louisiana churches on fire.
Ooh, that's not good.
That's not the cool part. Reverend Dwight Brown slept in his church two nights last week to stop it from happening. He has at CNN, that's where I got the story, not divulging the name of his church for fear that it could become a target, but it sits near two of the three churches that burned in recent weeks in St. Landry Parish, which is about an hour's drive west of Baton Rouge. But he's basically been sleeping on the pews and getting up every time he hears a weird noise.
Oh, wow.
But I thought it was really, I mean, regardless, I'm not a religious person, but it's like anything else. It's like if a farmer stayed up with the pigs, you know what I mean? Like, I just thought it was really cool that this man just wants to protect his church.
Yeah.
And well, I don't know if any of you have ever sat on a pew, but they're not very comfortable. The fact that this man is sleeping on one just to save his church and to give his parishioners a place to go is pretty amazing.
Do at least have a cushion on it? Some of them do.
There was one church in Quincy growing up, and we always called it, like, that was treat week if we happened to be going to St. Joseph's, because St. John's, that was really, really hard wood.
Our Lady of the Comfortable Seat. Florida.
Oh, my friend.
Florida. Casey Michael Lewis, 34, got himself arrested for grand theft at a Walmart and wound up in the St. Lucie County Jail.
How do you even manage to commit grand theft at a Walmart?
Stealing a lot. The next morning, he bonded himself out. Once free of the building, he headed straight to the parking lot and started breaking into cars. By the time deputies confronted him, he had gathered $547 in cash, cigarettes, a debit card, and an iPhone. Lewis was brought back inside the jail and bonded himself out again later that day. He left the county jail without further incident. I'm saying $547 in cash, iPhones, cigarettes. Now you know which cars to go break into.
Yeah, right?
Like, go ahead to the St. Lucie County Jail, kids. No, don't do that. I did not recommend that. I deny everything.
The only other thing that's ever come out of St. Lucie is the kid that killed his parents with a hammer.
I remember that guy.
So basically, don't ever go there.
Yes. That is all the time we have for this week. Until next time, Shea Spillane.
I love you all.